So over the past couple of weeks or so, I found myself having to describe to people what I would be doing during this time on this Sunday. And I specifically avoided words like sermon and preach. I would talk to Melissa and it's like, I have an idea for, and I just wouldn't be able to finish the sentence. I had another encounter earlier this week with a school administrator at Old Providence. I had substitute taught in the morning, because I don't think it's substitute teached. I think it's substitute taught. But I taught in the morning, and she said, what are you going to do with your afternoon? And I said, well, I'm going to be sharing during the service on Sunday, so I'm going to go work on that. She said, oh, what are you going to preach on? So I immediately corrected her, and I remembered the phrase that Robert had used when we talked about this time, and it's going to be an extended sharing time. Okay, so it's not preaching or sermon, it's an extended sharing time. If you're looking for someone to preach or to give you a sermon, I hear there are others in my family who do that, but he's not here. So I'm going to do an extended sharing time. I find it a little disappointing sometimes when people stand up and the first thing they start talking about is how they're really not qualified to speak. And it's always discouraging me because the first thought in my mind is, so why are you up there? I think I'm very qualified to share during this extended sharing time because these are my observations. This is where I hear God has brought our church this year and what we've learned and what I think he's taking us to next year. Okay, there have been conversations that I've had with people and thoughts have connected or how the session is making decisions or what the deacons are doing. And I've jotted those down, so this is what I'm observing. I'm very much qualified to share that. I hope that you can agree with some of the things. If you don't, I'd love to hear, because I think that's how we hear God's message, is in interacting with each other. So the Finance Committee is responsible for the stewardship season that we're entering into now and for the budget. And to start that process, I wanted to do the look back and look forward, so I asked the elders and the deacons and the church ministry staff to answer two questions. The first one of which is, for your area of ministry, what were your highlights this year, and what were some of the lessons learned? The second question was, well, what are your goals for next year? Now, there may be some of you that enjoy those shows that I do in between Christmas and New Year's, where on the networks, they'll go back through the whole year, and they'll show, you know, highlights of either a political event or a sports event or births or deaths. That they go back through the whole year. I really get a kick out of watching those. But some of the times I walk away going, gosh, I didn't remember that had happened this year. And sometimes I think it happened a year before, but it happened in that year. So what I want to do is take you through what I've observed from this year, and then surmise from that, what has God been teaching us? So let me take you through 2019 for Good Shepherd. I will warn you in advance, there will be an opportunity for audience participation. So get ready for that. In January, Robert preached a series of sermons that were entitled, Here I Am, in which he highlighted people in the Bible who didn't feel that they were qualified, but out of obedience, they made themselves available, and God used them. God put them in a place where his ministry could be furthered. We were all challenged to ask ourselves, okay, are we making ourselves available so that God can work through us? Also in January, at the end of the month, during our congregational meeting, I shared the approved budget that showed that we expected our income to be $40,000 less than our expenses. Now, that was a scary time for me, especially staring at that number, because I really didn't know how we were going to address it. At the time, the questions that were going through my head were, you know, God, what is going on? What is it you want us to do? And those questions had more frustration in January than what I'm using now. What do you want? So looking back, I think God was using the confluence of those two things to work together for our church. Is how's the church making itself available? And we can't do it on our own because we're staring down the barrel of a deficit. So I think God made those two things happen at the same time. Maybe we'd gotten into a groove where we felt comfortable and we used the minimum amount of effort that we'd done before. Maybe God saw a need that was in our blind spot, and until we moved forward, we wouldn't be able to see what he wanted to show us. So we took that here I am up to the church level, And we said in February we were going to have a Here We Are lunch, in which we were going to seek God's guidance for what do you want us to do. Now, over in the expansion area, we had about 50 people for lunch, and there were four questions that we wrestled with. The first one was, if an organization down the street was offering an event, what would it have to be to get you interested in going? We were going to take that to say, well, then what is it that we need to be offering to get people interested in coming to worship with us? The second question was, what are some of the needs that we could address in our neighboring communities? So instead of us saying, hey, we've got an idea, let's go fill, and it's what are the needs, and let's move toward those needs. So taking kind of an outside-in look. The third question is, are there services or events we could invite our neighbors to come to that would generate income? If we read the story about the talents, he gave those servants talents, and then he said, use them, and they brought back income. And the last question is, what events would excite you enough to invite your neighbors to? So the output of all of those four questions formed the four outreach / fundraising events that we've done this year. That was in February. So hold that thought on the outreach fundraisers. I'll come back to that. In February, we had our first Valentine's dinner. The event drew not only our own members, but also people that didn't come to this church. And I remember noting, well, that's cool. People came to an event that we had at our church. And this was right about the same time. As I look back, I'm thinking, why did I think that was so cool? Well, why isn't that just something that happens that on a regular basis? We encounter people that don't go to our church, and they're at something that we're doing. But anyway, that's what happened then. She's not here, but I'll tell you, I don't think Kim Kinkin's call is in the medical industry. It's in the event planning industry. That was a great event. I think everybody had a great time. In April for Easter, the men's group cooked a full breakfast for all the people that came to the sunrise service. That was a first for us. We had never pulled that off. It was interesting to do, and to the best of my knowledge, there were no ill effects. But that was the best of my knowledge. Maybe there was. In May, Shannon Clar spoke to the women's tea, sharing about her journey and challenges and the story of how she and Ryan were blessed with Kira. That was another special time in our church history. The Prime Timers, with Jane as their travel agent, have gone all over the world racking up frequent flyer miles to enjoy Chinese food, Irish food, Hawaiian food, and as recently as last night, German food. So, and they've never had to actually leave the city to do that. So, Bon Clarkin again was another great event. There were about 35 people that went up to the mountains. If you've not gone on that, next year you need to sign up. It's not only a good time to learn, but you really can get to know people better when you've got more time than just in an hour Sunday school or an hour worship in some of the other events. I mean, that is really a good time. And you also interact with all of the generations. But again, we did that again this year. When I looked across these events, I found a common theme, and we probably ought to need to have it needle pointed. It says, if you cook it or serve it, they will come. Because all of these had some food involved. My observation is I think we do a good job within our church of having events that keep us connected. If you look back at those were some of the ones that did that. Children are very special to us at Good Shepherd. You hear that phrase, you can probably finish it with me. Hear that every Sunday. We set aside that time for our kids. But this is what's gone on this year in the way of our youth group. The Backyard Kids Club, we tried that this year in the summer, and there were kids that came from the neighborhood that weren't regular attendees in the youth group. If you're not familiar with it, that Schools Out Kids Club meets a need in our community, where there'll be a day off from CMS schools, and parents then have to figure out what does child care look like. Zach has got us mobilized to now provide parental supervision for those kids. I could see that growing in our neighborhoods. For the parents that look at the CMS schedule, identify those dates, and just wait to hear from us that we're going to do it. Meets a need, and it's coming out of our youth ministry, or children's ministry. Out of the youth ministry, you see the items. I can remember when the when we had Mission Sunday and they came back and talked about their experience, and it wasn't so much we did this, we did this, we did this. It got to, well, why was it meaningful for them? What did they learn? How did they experience God? And I was just taken back by the maturity that they had. So it's not now time for the audience participation. there's a question in front of you, and we'll do this by show of hands. How many youth and children have we cared for this year? If you think it is greater than 20, raise your hand. 30, 50, 60, 80, 100, 110 kids have had an interaction with our youth group and children's ministry this year. I wouldn't have guessed that. My hand would have come down by halfway. But 110 kids we've cared for either through the children's ministry or through our youth ministry. So I think we are being obedient in that. All right, how about groups outside of our church? What are we doing for them? Each month there's a small group that goes to crisis assistance ministry on a regular basis. Last week there were 10 members of our church that did the crop walk raising money. You heard earlier about the Christmas shoeboxes that are out in the gathering area. We're involved in that. And you also heard about the Christmas shop. So I think we're doing some to help groups in our neighborhood. Last week, Robert talked about our relationship with the Hispanic Seventh-day Adventist. I'll be the first one to say, when they approached us and said they'd like to use our facility, that was very unfamiliar to me. So they wanted to use a sanctuary. It's like, okay, I think we've done that. We've offered up the sanctuary before, and they also want to use the kitchen. Okay, I don't know whether we've done that before, but okay. And then they wanted to cook lunch and eat lunch in the expansion area. It's like, okay, but you know, how are we going to get them in the building? Because the building's locked. What's it going to do to our utility expense? Because we don't have to run the air conditioner on Saturday, so there's not somebody here. So, okay, we might have an increase in our utilities. And what happens if we walk in on Sunday and there's food stains on the carpet, or it smells of a different type of food than we're used to? There were all these things going through my head going, want to make it work, but not sure how we make it work. So we set up a 90-day trial from June through August, in which we could get out if something went wrong. Do you know what we found? What we observed is they treat God's house like we treat God's house. We don't see any food stains. We don't see any evidence they were even here on Saturday. They came to our yard sale. They came on the Friday night that we had the members' sale. They were great people. And I just think that that's a real testament to us looking back and saying, God gave us a talent in our facilities and our buildings, pushed us to a place where it's like, oh, this is a little unfamiliar to us, it's a little uncomfortable, what are we going to do? But he blessed it. My vision for next year is we need to have a sign out front that says that they meet here on Saturdays. Because right now, who would know that they meet here? We've got our sign, why wouldn't we have a sign out for them so people passing by would see it? We also took steps forward in the use of our manse, yet another talent that God has given us. What are we going to do with it? The Richardsons, Bryce and Jen, approached us. He is the Young Life Director in the Southeast, and she works for Proverbs 31 Ministry. That's such a blessing for a number of reasons. One, it meets their need. They wanted to live in this area because this is where their ministry is. They didn't want to have to live somewhere else. From a church perspective, we don't have to use funds from our operating budget to maintain the manse. I never would have thought at the beginning of the year, why don't we find a relationship like this that's going to work? God just revealed himself and said, use the talent, and we're taking steps in obedience to use it. Now, I saved the outreach and fundraising events to now, but I think this shows best how God has pushed us out of our comfort zone to a place where we're engaging more with our neighbors. I stood up here about a month ago, despite being on the verge of a public display of emotion, I hope you heard the message that going into this, even if we think it's a fundraiser, you can't minimize the outreach that it has. During the yard sale, we met a number of people that they've got same problems we have, the same challenges we had. And if nothing else in planting seeds, we started to build some relationships with those people. The pig picking that we had last week, I was at the table where people were purchasing the dinners. There had to be a dozen people I didn't recognize. So they had to have seen our signs, or they heard from somebody, and they came onto our site. Hopefully they'll come back sometime, or if they're considering where they might go on a Sunday morning, they come back to worship with us. Tonight's the movie night. That may just sound like a fun thing, but one of the things that we heard in February when we were saying, what are the needs in Southeast Charlotte? One of the answers was, we need a safe place for kids to come and have fun. So tonight is a place that the kids can come, even with their parents, and we will serve the community and do something fun with them. The Fall Jazz Fest, Chuck talked about in a couple of weeks. As I look at that, I think that's probably a whole different group of people coming here that we can minister to than any of the other three. I think we're connecting more with our neighbors, even if it's just planting seeds and at a relationship level. But I know that how we interact with them shows Jesus to them. The other observation that I've had about those is that historically we've said, if you feel led to a ministry, we will help enable you in that ministry. I think this year we said we should rally together as a church on a smaller set of outreach ministries, do them together, and be the church together that way. It's different, but maybe that's what God's teaching us now. Well, that was a fun walk down memory lane, but here's what I think God is teaching us. Number one, it's time to get out of our comfort zone and try new things to interact with our nearby neighbors and outside our church walls. The phrase in my head was, stop being the church on the corner and start being the church in the neighborhood. Second thing that I heard is, this building and this property are not yours. Take care of them, but remember that they are mine and for my use. And the third thing is, stop using your budget as the limiting factor for your ministry. Trust me and take some steps on faith and see how I can bless it. All of those things are uncomfortable to me and even illogical, but I think that's what I have observed that we have learned from this last year. So let me tell you where we are financially as of now. If you look at the second column in where it says budget, we thought at this point in the year we would have overspent by $42,000. We've actually overspent only $24,000. I'm actually encouraged by that. It's been through the generosity of members. It's also been looking for opportunities to minimize our expenses. So we're actually $18,000 ahead. I would love, as people are blessed and are led by God, to try to reduce that to zero by the end of the year and start the year fresh. So let me tell you where I think God is leading us for next year. Historically, when we've gone through stewardship and the budgeting process, we would talk about, you know, how we believe that our church is being led by God. And then we'd ask for pledges. And then out of the pledges, we would come up with a budget. And then the session would approve the budget. And we would report it back. Here's our budget. We're totally flipping that. Starting this year, we're going to start with, what do we want to do, or where are we being led as a church? What type of a budget do we think it would take to do that? Let's let everybody know, this is what we're trying to do next year. And hope that you prayerfully consider, how can you be a part of that financially in supporting the church? So instead of putting God in a box saying, okay, here's our budget, work with that, we want to say, where is God leading us? How do we move toward that? Another uncomfortable place for me, but I feel like that's where we need to be going. So you remember the second question that I asked the session and the deacons was, what were your goals for next year? Where do you see God leading us next year? As all of that information came back in, as I read through it, they fell into one of four categories. But the summary is, two of the categories were around the word grow, and two of the categories were around the word care. So that's our theme for stewardship this year, is grow and care. So let me tell you what our goals are for next year, and they're broken into the different categories. The first one is grow in Christ. We need to grow in Christ. The most important one we have to start with is, we need to help individuals deepen their walk with Christ. We're discussing, how do we do discipleships, whether it's one-on-one or as a group. I encourage people, if you don't come to Sunday school, try. try to come. It's a very different experience where you interact with people and you can ask questions. And usually a worship service doesn't offer that opportunity. You're listening and you're taking in God speaking to you, but if you have questions, where do you go with those questions? And how do you find out what other people are wrestling with as well that may be similar? So I encourage you to try coming to Sunday school. We also need to engage multiple members to teach Sunday school. Where is Leslie? I'm going to use Leslie as an example today. She was saying she never thought of herself as a Sunday school teacher, but somebody told her, you like to read. And she even said, I read the lesson. There's usually some questions that pop into my head. I just start the questions and the class goes. You know, we start, you know, answering the questions or relaying an experience that we might have had. You don't have to necessarily think of yourself as qualified to be a Sunday school teacher. You just need to be available to be a Sunday school teacher. The next one is grow our church family. We want to continue to grow the church. The first way is how do we continue to connect with the preschool? I should have known the number of how many different families actually come on our site every week, whether it's 1, 2, or 5 days. There's a bunch of them. How do we meet their needs and include them in our church family? The second, and this is the one that I've got some energy around, is how do we look at that field and see, is there a way that we can morph that into a soccer field in addition to the baseball field? Is there a way, because there are certain nights that are available, we could have a soccer league here and have another chance to serve the community because we've got the property, but not hurt the baseball team? How do we look at better use of that asset, that talent that we've got on our property? And we need to continue to look for ways to support Zach with the youth and children's ministry, whether it's through serving meals or being an advisor on a retreat or on a youth mission trip. There will be opportunities for that next year. We need to continue to care for our members. A number of things that we do now, we need to continue to do. The men's group that Jeff leads, that meets the need for men, and men have to be forced to interact. But there are opportunities for us to stay up with each other. The Valentine's Day dinner, I thought that was great. I'm hoping we do that again next year. Bon Clarkin, we should do that. Prime Timers, they have so much momentum. We just need to keep doing that. Next year, in 2020, is our 40th anniversary. We need to do that in a big way. We need to celebrate that God has put us here. We know we've got more to do in places that we need to go to. But invite the people back that were a part of getting us to where we are now. That needs to be a big thing for us next year. And then we need to make sure that we stay connected with our members. It's hard to detect the absence of something. So if somebody suddenly misses 3 or 4 weeks of being at worship, someone has to detect it, and that's not easy. But our deacons every month reach out and attempt to connect with every member to find out what's going on with them. Is there anything we can pray for, or is there a need that we can meet with them? That's kind of a silent thing that we may not know a lot about, but that is key, that we keep up with our members. Life happens. This is the way we know what's going on with our members. And then the last category is care for our community. We have definitely been pulled that direction by God this year. The first is continue supporting the community Christmas shop. You'll hear more about that, I'm sure, every week going forward. We need to select what are the outreach/fundraisers we're going to do next year. I'd like to get a group together probably November, December, and say, do we want to do the same ones we did this year? Do we want to do something different? We also need to do one earlier in the year because we ended up having all four of them within about 2-month period, which puts a stress on our members that support it. But just keep that going. How do we continue to be out in the neighborhood, provide a service, but also interacting with them on our property? And then the last one, another one I've got some energy around is, you know, how do we stay connected and expand that connection with Old Providence Elementary School? I think it was Robert's phrase was, if that was a college campus, we'd be all over it. Why aren't we all over it? And because it's an elementary school. And I'm not talking about somebody has to commit 5 days a week or 3 days a week. There are episodic things we can do. Last year, it would have been in May, I think one night, 3 hours, we got a bunch of us to help move desks around. The teachers can't do it while the students are there. And the Old Providence Foundation also teamed up with us for that. But things like that where they have a specific need and it's confined, why can't we rally together to help with something like that? Paint a classroom. You know, I think we can have an impact on that, and that is impact in our community. So those are our goals for next year. The scripture that we talked about that I read was speaking the truth in love. We are to grow in every way into Christ. We've just put them in four categories. But I think if we address those goals and we try to achieve those goals, we will be moving in the right direction. Now, this is probably a good time for me to explain my title slide. Obviously, Google Images helped me out. But I found this one. I went, well, that's kind of what I'm getting at. When you look in the rearview mirror, it's a lot clearer. I wish it wasn't perfectly clear because I'm still trying to say, okay, what was God teaching us? But it's clearer when you look back what God was trying to do with us and teach us. But when you look forward, it's murky. You know, we're sitting here in October and I'm trying to figure out what are we going to do next year. So it's just a glimpse of what we're supposed to do, where we're supposed to go. But hopefully next year when we do this again, we look back in 2020 as clear as to where God was taking us. So if you want to know how this is connected to stewardship, obviously, you know, we've talked about where we were and our goals for next year, but there's a budget that helps enable us for that. We've set a target budget in 2020 of $320,000. That's the same as this year. It's not more, it's not less. But this means that we're going to start the year looking at another $40,000 deficit. Another uncomfortable place for me. But if God is helping us get through this year, why wouldn't we think that he's going to enable us for next year? Back in January, I committed to having a great deal of visibility about our budget and how the church is run financially. And I've got a series of slides where we've aggregated a bunch of data, and I want to share it with you. This isn't made to make people uncomfortable or to shame people. It's all numbers. I don't ever see people's names. It's just numbers. But this is where we are as a church. We have 71 households. Okay, 37 of them pledge and give. So we can kind of build a budget off of 37 and a guess. And those people give. There are 8 households that give but don't pledge. So that's where we try to figure out what would the budget be. We have 26 households that don't pledge and don't give. Some of those we don't think are going to come back. They were worshiping here and they haven't been here. We've reached out, so we're not sure they're coming back. But there are some that I would ask, can you please be a part of our ministry from a financial perspective? We could use that help. And you would be obedient to God's calling. All right, Clay, go ahead and go to the next slide. We have 139 active members. The average pledge is $6,234. 21 of the households make up 80% of our estimated pledges. You've heard about an 80-20. We have an 80-30. Roughly 30% of our households make up 80% of what's pledged for the budget. Okay, next slide. You can't see the bottom one, but it's the 110 kids that have been touched by our youth ministry. Stepping one up, there are 16 different groups that use our facilities right now. We just mentioned a couple. You know, the Hispanic group was one. But there's 16 different groups that come onto our site that use our facilities. And then if you look at all of 2018, which is the most recent complete year, through the church's giving or through things like 10 cents a meal, we gave out $42,000 to other organizations outside of our church. So on a budget of $320,000, $42,000 went out. Okay? Next slide, please. We depend on our members. 95% of our budget is made up of member pledges. All right? The fundraisers is 2%. It's not about the fundraising. It's about the outreach. All right, next slide. You'll see this more because we'll send this out, but it breaks down how much of our money is focused on whether it be our worship time or on ministering to our own or ministering outward. And that's what the upward, inward, or outward gets to. And you'll see this. We'll send out a letter with this on it. Next slide, please. We took the giving and broke it into different stair steps. Go to the next slide. So you'll see the different pledge amounts, and it's a little range, and then how many households are at each one of the steps. And the challenge for you and for me is to seek God's leading as to whether you can step up a level. Because people always wonder when we say, you know, if you're blessed and can give, can you give more to the church to continue our ministry? Well, here's a way for you to look at it I guess, more definitively. And I'm not asking you to. I'm just asking you to seek God's leading you as to what you can do. So over the next few weeks, you'll hear some more about stewardship. If you go to the next slide. On November 3rd, we'll have a guest speaker that's going to talk about what does Good Shepherd mean to them. And then on the 10th, we're going to have a series of people that are answering the question, well, what would you like to see Good Shepherd do or be? And then we'll hand out pledge cards on the 10th and ask if you would return them on the 17th. So I want to close my extended sharing time in a different way than you're probably used to. When I go to Bon Clarkin, I try to do a little video at the end of the weekend. And it's usually it is intended to be funny, to look at funny situations or funny expressions that people have. I'm very deliberate in the song that I choose. What I've done is I took the video that we showed at Bon Clarkin. I took out all the humorous stuff because that's not what I'm trying to be now. I'm not trying to be funny. I ask that you do a couple things. One, look at the people, because that's us. You know, that's us ministering to each other, getting to know each other, worshiping God together. The other thing I'll ask you to do is listen to the lyrics. This was a purposeful song that I selected, and it talks about the singer's yearning to be with the body of Christ, to get back to church, that's the family that he knows, that knows him. And he doesn't have to put on airs. He doesn't have to hide who he is. So if you'll go to the next slide, that will start the video.
Was a time that I swore I would never go back. I was blind to the truth, didn't know what I had. I was running, I was searching, but every place I turned for healing left me more broken than last. Take me back to the place that feels like home, to the people I can depend on, to the faith that's in my bones. Take me back to a preacher and a verse where they've seen me at my worst, to the love I had at first. I wanna go to church. Tried to walk on my own, but I wound up lost. Now I'm making my way to the foot of the cross. It's not a trophy for the winners, it's a shelter for the sinners, and it's power I belong. In my heart, take me back to a preacher and a verse where they've seen me at my worst, to the love I had at first. Oh, I wanna go to church. I wanna go to church. In my bones, take me back.